Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
And I want to thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. We have seen we have some visitors on this morning. I want you to know I'm Brother Horace Stroud. I am the pulpit minister, and I serve this congregation. I'm not Reverend Stroud, I'm Brother Stroud.
Amen.
Yeah, Reverend, you look in Psalms 100 and verse number 9. Actually, the word reverend is an adjective. It's not a noun. It's not a title. It refers to God and how awesome God is. And so I want you to know you are experiencing, you're visiting with us for the first time, you are experiencing New Testament worship, where we worship God. My leadership responsibility here is that we do those things according to Scripture. Amen? And so we're worshiping God. Brothers that have gone before me, thank all of them. So you find that what we had so far, we find Luke penned in Luke 2 and verses number 42 in New Testament worship. There are five acts. Luke wrote, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching from the word of God. And fellowship. Fellowship is when we share with God what God has blessed me with. If God has blessed you with monies on this past week, we should give some of that back to God. Yeah, that's one way we say thank you, God, for blessing me with what I have. And then the Bible says in breaking of bread, that's when we commune with the Lord. Our minds, our hearts to go back, and we need to understand that Christ was beaten. They put thorns on his head, beat him with a whip, ripped his skin off, and after that, they put him on a cross, nailed him to a cross, his hands and his feet, and he died on the cross for us. Yeah, he died on the cross for us. And that's referred to in the Bible. That's part of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day, never to die again. But our minds, as our brother led us this morning, should go back every Lord's Day. We want to be reminded of what the Lord did for us. And then the Bible says, and in prayer. We have brothers lead us in prayer. We have those that are asked and those that accept. They lead us in our prayer. We make requests to God. We thank God for the life that God is allowing us to live. Amen?
Amen.
And then the Bible says in verse 47, praising God. Yeah, we praise God here. Yeah, we praise God. We don't do it with mechanical instruments. We don't have drums and all that stuff that God has not authorized in our worship to God. But we praise God. The Hebrew writer said, we make sacrifice to God with the fruit of our lips. We sing praises to God. Bible says, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. You're here this morning, and you're not a Christian according to the Bible. No one is saved from their past sins until they are obedient to Christ. One must obey Christ and become a Christian. So I'll extend the invitation this morning, and you are understanding of the message and desirous of the message, we want you to come forward. Give me your hand, give the Lord your heart, and render obedience. Become a Christian today. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in our message this morning. Amen?
Amen?
And so we are here this morning. Again, if you're visiting with us, we've been studying from the book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote. And we're now in the third chapter. And the theme for the Philippian Christians in chapter 3 is Christ is our hope. That's the theme, that Christ is our hope. And in that letter, Paul, the verse that was read to you, he said, and that's my subject title this morning, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. The Apostle Paul writes to these Philippian Christians that there is one thing I do. What is that one thing? Let's study together. this morning. In Philippians 3 and 9, well, we start in verse 10, but I want to pick that up. Paul wrote to those Christians. He said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, I was found in him. A person is found in him when he is buried with him in baptism. That's Colossians 2:12. You have to be, in order to be found in him, you have to be buried with him. Yeah. Yeah. And then Paul said, I don't have my own righteousness. I was a Jew, which was according to the law. He said, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which of God by faith. So Paul said, I was found in him. I became a Christian when I, through the faith of Christ, and we know from Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of who?
God.
Yeah, so Paul said, I was taught the word of God. And now, but because of that, I have faith of Christ. And I have righteousness, which is of God. We become righteous when one obey God. And Paul said, that is by faith. Then he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said here, verse 10, that I may know him. We sometimes sing a song from Job 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Yeah, we need to know that Jesus lives. Yeah, we need to know that. And part of knowing that, Paul said, and the power of God's resurrection, how God raised Christ up. He said, and the fellowship or the sharing that I have with Christ in his suffering. You know, Paul told Timothy in his second letter, in 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. Yeah, Christianity is not an easy life at times. Yeah, we sometimes have to suffer with Christ. Then Paul said, being made conformable unto his death. The word conformable here means growing into conformity. We have to conform to what the word of God says. And because of that, Paul should say, and we should say, it's great to be a Christian. Yeah, we all should be. If you obey the Lord, you should be able to say, it is great to be a Christian. Will we suffer? Yes, we will. Will we go through stuff? Yes, we will. But it's great to be a Christian. Because I have God on my side. I have God on my side. Paul said then, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. The word obtain in that text means attain means to obtain. Paul said, if by any means, I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. That Paul said that I might be resurrected from the dead. God did it for Christ. God can do it for me. Yeah. Then he says, verse 12, not as though I have already attained or obtained. He said, either were already perfect. He said, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Paul said here that not that I'm not there yet. He said, not that I've obtained it. He said, either were I already perfect. And the word perfect in the text means brought to completeness. He said, I'm not there yet. He said, however, I'm a follow after. If that I may, the word apprehend means to lay hold on that which also I am trying to lay hold, and that's on Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I've been living, and I'm not there yet. We may not be there yet. But there's a way that we can live. Turn your Bibles. Get your Bibles this morning. Turn your Bibles. And Luke chapter 12. Harry, I've been messing with you this morning. You're going to read this morning. Yeah, you're going to read this morning. I'm going to mess with you this morning. Get Luke chapter 12. Yeah, find that. Find that. Verse number 16. Luke 12 and verse 16. When you're there, when you're ready.
And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said,
No, we good. You good. Let's just build this. Bible says Jesus gave a parable. Now, oftentimes when you read Jesus' parable, Jesus now would teach a parable after something that he first said. So in verse 15, he talked about a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possessed. Then he spoke the parable. He said, look here. We had a certain rich man. And he brought forth plentiful. The man was rich. And he said to himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my food. I got so much. I don't even know where to put this stuff. That's rich. You ain't got room to put stuff away. Read her.
And he said, and he said, this will I do.
Yeah.
I will pull down my barns.
Yeah.
And build greater.
Yeah.
And there will I bestow all my fruits.
So he said, thought to himself, you know, sometimes we talk to ourselves. And he said, you know what? I'm gonna move into a bigger house. You know what I'm saying? I got all this stuff. I can't even put this stuff up. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna build me a bigger house. They can hold all my cars and all my stuff. I gotta get some bigger screens in this house so we can just do all that I can do. Say it. Think to myself, what I'm gonna do with all this stuff? Man, I gotta take care of me. And then he said something else to himself, Brother 19.
I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years.
Yeah.
Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.
Now he said to himself again, talking to yourself. He said, you know what? I got enough stuff to last me for years. For years. What I'm going to do now? I'm going to pull down my barn. Remember I told you, you're going to take down. I'm going to build a bigger barn. Greater, larger. He said that I can bestow all my fruits and my goods. I ain't heard nothing about God. I ain't heard nothing about God. But I see the word I many times. Build out my barn. I got all this. I got all that. And then I'm going to say to myself.
Take ease.
Eat.
Drink.
And be merry. Man, enjoy yourself.
all this stuff? What you worried about stuff for? Enjoy yourself. You ain't heard nothing about God. But understand, God is always watching.
And then God began to speak. But God said, number God said unto him,
thy food. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?
Thank you, my brother. Lord said to him, but God, no, and all that stuff that he was doing while he probably was relaxing on his recliner, had his feet up, watching TV, enjoying himself, God start talking. You fool. You F-O-O-L. Now understand this here. If God calls you a fool, you ain't nothing but. But the question is, why was he a fool? Jesus answers that in verse 21, Brother Harold.
So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto him.
You good. Yeah, you can retire for the night. You good. Done your part, Harold. Thank you, my brother. Yeah. God said to him, so is he, so is me, so is you. If we live a life, and notice now, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And you are not rich when it comes to God.
There's an old story about a young man about to graduate from high school. And his friend asked him, he said, what do you intend to do with your life? He responded, well, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get me a degree. And his friend said, yes, what then? Well, I guess I'm going to go out and get me a job. Got this degree, give me a job, I'm gonna earn a living, I'm gonna make a lot of money. Friend said, yes. What then? Well, I'm gonna try to find me a good young lady, marry her, and we're gonna have children, and we just gonna live. Friend said, what then? Well, at some point, I'm gonna retire on a good income and I'm gonna enjoy my years. Friend said, what then? Say, well, I guess someday my body would wear out and I would die. And his friend said, what then? When the judge of the world says to each of us, close for the night. And then, as was the case with the rich man who became a fool, God is going to ask for a balance on how we live in this life Now God is saying, what then?
Yeah.
What then? You live your life and you've accumulated stuff. This young man did. Went to college, got a degree, found one young woman, got married, had children, earned a lot of money. When I retired, my income was good. And then I began to get old. My body began to wear out. And at some point, each of us going to die. Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. And God is going to say to each of us, what then? What then? In verse 13, the Apostle Paul begins to answer the question, what are we living for? What are we living for? It's a question we can, I'm asking myself, what am I living for? Yeah. Because God is going to say, what then? In all of our lives. Paul said, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. Here's my title. He said, but this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. Sometimes in life, we have to let go of stuff that is behind. Yeah. Sometimes I got to let those things go. There are things that happened in my life, things that transpired in my life, but it's some, Paul said, now, in prepping yourself for this one thing, you have to forget something. Not that I, from a memory standpoint, but I have to let things go. Can't care about them no more. Can't care about them no more. Let them go. Let them go. If I wasn't a parent, I was supposed to let it go. Children grown now. They can make decisions for themselves. Yeah. If I didn't do the best job I could, at some point I got to let it go. Yeah. Person become grown, their age kind of build, they can make decisions for themselves. Paul said, however, I'm reaching. The word reaching here means stretching. For those things, Paul said, which are before. And then he answers the question. He said, this one thing I do. Paul started by saying in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the one thing. That's the one thing. So what did Paul mean by that? The word press means to try to get, or you're pursuing. Paul said, I'm pursuing toward, the word mark here means a goal. A goal. See, you can go to any gymnasium. You know, what's our gym the Rockets playing in down here? And what you call it? Toyota Center. Understand this here now. You can go down to the Toyota Center. Excellent facility. Excellent facility. But understand this here. If you don't have no goal, all you got is a building. Mm-hmm. That'll catch up with you. Mm-hmm. If you don't have no goal, no matter what else you're doing in life, you go down to Toyota Center
And if they don't bring down those gold, all you got is a large building. We got to have a goal in life. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah.
Paul said, there's one thing I do. I got a goal. And my goal is for the prize. It's a reward for the life that we have lived. Paul said, my goal is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul, the Hebrew writer, shared that in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible calls it a heavenly calling. Yeah. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's the goal in life, to receive that heavenly calling. The rich fool didn't get it. He didn't get it. He had a lot of stuff. He earned a lot of money. He didn't need anything from a physical or material standpoint, but he did not get that heavenly calling. This one thing I do, and that one thing is that I'm stretching, I'm pressing, I'm trying to live a life that I can receive the high calling of God, which is in Jesus Christ. How do I do that, Paul? Verse 15, he said, let us. He talked about himself, he talked about the congregation too. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, he said, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's how we get there. Now, Paul had first said that he wasn't perfect. But notice now he says, let us therefore as many as become perfect. Yeah, the word perfect in the text means having to be full grown or being mature. He said, those that are thus minded. In other words, those Christians that are mature, they have a certain mindset. They have a certain way of living. Why? Because they're mature. Yeah. And then he said, if you're not there, he said, and if anything be that you be otherwise, you have another type of mind. He said, God can reveal it through the scriptures that you can be mature. Yeah. So how does the Christian get there? Yeah. As a Christian, we cannot remain in a state of stagnation. Yeah. Never moving, never challenged, or being challenged. If we're not careful, some of us just come here and we the same person we was years ago. That's stagnation. Can't go to heaven that way. Yeah. There must be growth, or else there will be regression.
See, in life, life is like being on a hill. And you can work hard to go up the hill, or you can just stand there and you'll start going back. Be careful that you're not just standing there, because you're going to go back. How do I get there, Brother Stroud? How does a Christian get there? Yeah. Let's go to the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 5, it's answered.
The Hebrew writer said,
for when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat.
Hebrew writer says, and I'm saying to every one of us here, the Bible says there ought to be a time when we ought to be teachers. Yeah. I know we looking brothers while I'm there. This congregation needs brothers to teach. We need teachers. There ought to become a time when you ought to teach. Amen, somebody. Amen. And if I'm not, I should be growing in the Word of God that I can teach others. I said we did Bible class Wednesday night. Paul said, be ready. All Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give every man an answer of the hope which is in you with meekness and fear. We ought to be able to tell another person how we become a Christian, why I have a hope that I'm going to heaven. How did I do that? We ought to be able to teach people. Amen. You've been here. You should be able to tell a person what they need to do to be saved from their past sin. Paul said in this text, a Hebrew writer, said, but you are one that need to be taught again. So that means you are not growing. Somebody go back and teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. Now we have a first principle class for those people that want to go back and get that knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. He said, but when you are not growing, you are a person that need milk and not meat. You can't be a Christian and stay on milk. If you see, you know how sometimes we see parents with their baby, and that child about 4 or 5 years old, and they walk around with a bottle in their hand. And you know, we make observations. We look at that situation. And be careful now, be careful. But we analyze the situation. And we recognize that that child is too old to be on that bottle. If you can recognize that, we ought to be able to look at ourselves and see that we ought not be on the bottle. We got to grow. The word of God is that milk, but then you grow. And Paul said, or Hebrew writer said, and you have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, sometimes I know older parents, y'all young parents, y'all don't know about this here. Older parents would get that food, when they take them off that milk, they would get that food, and they'll put it in their mouth. They checking to see whether it's too hot for that, put in that baby's mouth. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah. Parents knew how to take care of children then. Mm. Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. They back then.
Back then.
I say back then. Yeah. I'm going to be nice with this here, but you had some real mothers back then. Yeah. Real mothers. Yeah. They don't worry about whether your dad come on now. I'm going to take care of you now. Yeah. I need you. No, but wait for your dad to come on. I ain't waiting for no dad to come on. I'm gonna get busy with you, hell.
Right there.
Yeah, young parents, will you wait till your daddy come home? We get out for work. And he come home tired, he don't wanna do nothing. So the child learned this, he look here, say, you know, you go in there, and they say, man, mama said, daddy gonna whip you. You know, daddy gonna come home. He gonna go straight in there, and he gonna sit down, he gonna start watching TV. He ain't gonna get in there, he gonna whoop nobody. Children learn that. Yeah, they learn. Ain't nobody gonna be no. But what, girl? You wait till your father come home. No, ain't gonna wait. Ain't gonna wait. Yeah.
Reach out and touch.
Cause you know, when I grew up, mother said, "Yeah, I don't know. I probably should have. Well, I was scared to call CPS. I should have, but I was scared because if I called them and they came to pick her up, by the time they got there." I'd probably be dead. They gonna come and get her. But before they get her, no, my mother tell me, you gonna call somebody on me? Yeah. But I didn't know enough to, you know, we had cell phones back then.
No, no.
You know what I'm saying? Because she would have saw me on the phone. And then I would have just say, Lord, just take me now, because I know I'm dead. No. But back then, and we kind of looked at it sometimes as harsh treatment. But we had to be disciplined. Yeah. Let me share the prayer. Go to, while you're in there, let me go to Hebrews. I'm going to come here. I got a minute. Let me go there. Yeah, because you got to understand what the Bible teaches. Because people say, oh, I don't whoop nobody. Yeah, okay, you're missing what the Lord says. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there. Hebrews 12. Let me show you in the Bible what the Lord said. Parents. And see, then when we raise parents, you know, we should, our children should come to worship service, and they should be the best kids in the building. When you discipline them right, I know sometimes there would be a time when sometimes your parent would just look at you and you just freeze. You know what I'm saying? You scared to move because you know what's coming. Well, like what the Hebrew writer said. I want to show you in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to begin at verse number 6. Know what the Lord said. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he received. You're going to get a whooping. He said, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof you are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have, watch what he says, fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reverence. In other words, you should have a father. Father, you understand, you're supposed to correct your children. You're supposed to discipline them. That's what God said. And he said, when it comes to that, he said, we have respect for them. He said, so we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father spirits and live. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Watch verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seem to be joyous but grief. When you whoop a child, they're supposed to be crying. You're supposed to give it to them. It ain't no joy. You know, sometimes some of our parents, you whoop the child to go out, the child leave, that ain't hurt me. Mm-hmm. No, when you get one, you're going to get one. Yes, I know when I got one, you know, your mother, and I don't know why my mother do this. I'm crying. Stop crying. How am I going to stop crying? You just whoop me. You know what I'm saying? They tell you that. You about to dry it up. You about to suck it up. How am I going to stop crying? You just killed me, and you want me to not cry. What's going on with you? But they will tell you that. Whoop you right there. You by now. Not till don't come down. Please don't come down. God said, watch what he said. Nevertheless, after that whooping, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are, the word exercise means to train them. Yeah. And let me say this to parents. You can't wait till that child looking you straight in the eye to start disciplining them. You know. Older parents say, bend a sapling while it's, you know. And I didn't learn that. I know we was little kids. we would have a tree, we know we plant something in the ground, and it'd be leaning. And the older folks used to tell you, remember the old folks know stuff. They say, boy, go find you a little stick, okay? And you got some string for your kite? Yeah, I got some string. Bring me the string and get me a stick. And they would get that stick, put it next to that plant, and they would stand it up, and they would just tie it. And they would let it stay long enough that when they let the string and take the stick off, the tree is standing straight up. You got to discipline your children so they stand straight up. Yeah. God said it. Yeah, you can't wait. Sometimes we try to pacify our children. We buy them all that stuff and get them Jordans and get them all that stuff there and all that stuff there. And then when they grow up, now they saying, who are you talking to? No, I was taught, you're going to make sure every time you address me, it's yes, sir, no, sir, then it's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Ain't no huh, ain't no what. I remember one time I said that to my grandmother, and she hit me so fast. She slapped me so fast. It was almost so fast, I didn't even know what happened. And then I looked at my daddy, and I was like, you gonna let her? And my grandmother looked at him like, want some?
I got enough.
And my dad told me, say, son, go sit in the car. You don't talk and get in grown folks' business. That's what you did. You opened your mouth when you should have. And old folks back then, they don't have to, they gonna deal with you. So the Lord says in the text, afterwards it will yield. The word yield means to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So now your children, you know, when they go to school, they understand this here. Let me throw my lesson. I got to finish my lesson. But when they go to school, let me say this to young people. Whenever you're in a place and there's nobody there in authority, you in the wrong place. Because when you're at home, you have authority at home. When you're in school, the teacher is authority in the school, and you respect that authority. When you're out in the street and law enforcement stop you, you still respect that authority. Our problem oftentimes, our kids get in trouble when they're places where there is no authority. And they're just doing what they want to do. And then when they get in trouble, now they call in you. We got to train them before we let them go. So God said, let me finish up my lesson. I just wanted to say that. I don't like to say things and then not confirm it through the word of God. So discipline is necessary. Yeah. Paul said, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Yeah. What the Lord says here with a babe are those that are Christians that are young. This babe is because of the fact they're like a little child. That little child. But what the Lord is saying, they need milk because they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? They're a baby. That's why we have new convert class. We want to get our young people, young group, we want to have a class. I said it yesterday in brothers' meeting. We want to have a class for those young adults / new converts to have a class where you all can grow in the word of God and discuss issues y'all dealing with. Amen. Yeah, them young people need to discuss what's going on in school, what's going on in the street. They need to be where they have a teacher that can teach them them things. So why? Because they're babes. But then he said, as I close, but strong meat
belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, when Paul said this one thing I do, when we grow to maturity, what the Hebrew writer said, now when you mature, you can handle strong meat. Yeah, he said, if strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. The word full age means we need to have people here that have maturity. You need Christians that are mature. He said, having their senses exercised. The word senses means the ability to understand and to make spiritual apprehension. In other words, you can be able to see stuff spiritually wrong. You need brothers and sisters that know what's wrong. Yeah. Your senses have been trained that you can discern, or you can recognize what's right and wrong in the Word of God. We got to know when you have, from a worship service, when you have people, praise teams and doing all this stuff, you got to be able to discern, that's not right. We don't do that here. We don't do that. No. So you got to, again, you got to be trained. When you're mature, you can make spiritual application. Now, somebody, people do stuff and say, no, that ain't right. You know, you can just make, that's not right. He shouldn't have done that to that brother. He shouldn't have said that to that sister. That's not right. Why? Because now you are of full age. We need members here that grow up. Grow up. You can see it. How you see it? You can see it because people are active. As I said before, if we get this congregation to simply do what they can do in a ministry, we can do it all we want to do. But you got to be a full age. You have to grow up. So what I do, Pastor Ron? Well, as I like to say, as you learn better,
you do better.
Just do better. I haven't been doing all I'm supposed to do for the Lord. Ask myself, don't be like the rich fool. Think about all this material stuff. What can, God said, how do I become rich toward God when you're doing stuff for the Lord? That's how you become rich toward God, when you're doing something for the kingdom, for God, for members. Paul said, but it's one thing I do. That's my message this morning. That's my message. It's one thing I do. Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark. I want to go to heaven when this life is over. I want to go to heaven. If you're here today, you're not a member. I said it all set. God has a plan of salvation through his word that one become a Christian. All these verses, what Jesus said. First thing you must do, you must hear the gospel. What's the gospel? I found 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. I hear that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Okay, I heard that, Brother Sproul. What else I must do? You now must believe it. I believe it. When you're reading the scriptures, I believe it. John 6, 29. Then I must repent of my sin. Repentance means you turn. You don't be like the rich fool that don't have God in your life. You turn toward God. That's where repentance starts. Then you'll come up here this morning and you'll say, you'll make a confession. Your confession is, according to Matthew 10, 32, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the eunuch said in Acts 8, 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you make that statement, now what we'll do, we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of all your past sin. God does that. Yeah, Hebrews, Colossians 2:12 says that's an operation. God cut off all the sin that you've ever done in your life. Now you're made righteous by God. All the sins cut away. And so when we baptize you in that water, we bury you in that water, when you come up, every sin has been washed away. Acts 22:16. And then the Lord adds you to the church.
Man can't do it, God does it. God adds you to the only church you can read about in the Bible, Romans 16, 16, a description of it, is that the church is of Christ. The church belongs to Christ. He paid for it with his blood. And then you are saved from your past sins. Does anyone today, subject to the invitation, or you want to respond in any way to my message this morning? You need to get your life right. You want to come down. We want to bid you to come as my brother come up, and he'll lead us in the verse of him. If you're able to stand, please do so if you're able to. Amen. Here, if you want to respond to the message, come down. Come on down. You want to obey the gospel? Come down. If you want to get your life right with the Lord, you've been away from the Lord, you need to come today. Get your life right with the Lord. How do I do that? I repent of my sins, and I ask the church to pray for me that I grow in the Lord. Hey, God, it goes on.